Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Everybody, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you're listening at. Thank you for listening to us on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. This is Wrestle Talk and the Diva Martez alongside Dominic. So happy to be here today. So happy to talk wrestling with you. We got an amazing show for you today. We have an amazing guest for you today. And I believe he's called in. Our guest of the hour has called in, but we're going to bring him on relatively shortly. Hey. As I always do, I want to thank God for giving me another chance to talk wrestling. You know, I always say this, without him, I wouldn't have the ability to do this. And I'm not saying this to force my beliefs on anybody. It's just something that I do. So I want to thank God for that. I want to bring co-host Dominic onto the show. Hey, what's going on, Dominic?
What's going on, Russell Talk Nation? As I like to say, ding dong, hello.
Hey man, I'm happy to have you back. It's been a while since we did this show. It's been almost a month, so happy to have you back. All right, like I said, everybody, we do have a special show for you today. We're going to be talking to a very, very powerful YouTuber, very, very powerful podcaster, a very, very powerful host. And that in the person of Just Alex, the host of Alex World. I want to say his last name, but I don't want him to, I don't know if you want me to put his business out there, but I'm going to be talking to Just Alex relatively shortly. I'm looking forward to talking to him about a lot of things, about the creation of his show, as well as his take on WWE and wrestling in general. I want to apologize as we are broadcasting the show from Cadillac Square, downtown Detroit, so if you hear noise in the background, I do apologize about that. So we're going to bring on Alex right now. I want to say this. Nobody has to accept your invitation, okay? Nobody has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. Heck, it could be an invitation to a basketball game. It could be an invitation to a graduation. Nobody has to say yes. I'm always thankful when somebody says yes. So before we bring Alex onto the show, let me play him an intro, and then we're going to bring him onto the show. All right, joining us at this time, we're going to be bringing you the host of the one of the best podcasts out there today, Just Alex, host of Alex Worlds. We're going to bring him on to the show. How you doing, Alex? Welcome to the show.
Now, I know you didn't just play the Ric Flair intro.
Come on, man. You deserve it.
Oh, come on. That's one of the greatest of all time. Not my standard. Just got raised like 10 times higher than I was expecting. Now I really got to bring it. Man, thank you so much for letting me come on here and talk. I appreciate you, man.
No problem, man. I know you're busy, man, so we appreciate you joining this show. It's a lot I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to just say this out the gate. I am I'm in denial about WWE, okay? I'm always defending them. What I like about you is that you keep it real. You know, you don't hold no punches, and you really call them out. But I want to get to that a little bit later. But could you tell me, why did the world need Alex and Alex's World? What was the creation process in creating your YouTube channel and your show, and when did it all get created?
Well, man, it came about, I think, around like 2010, after I saw some craziness happening with the WWE shows. I think it was a series of things. I think it was Daniel Bryan getting released after the Nexus angle. I think it was just the overall general direction of Raw and how I was just disgruntled and not very pleased with what was going on. And I saw a lot of people coming out speaking, people like, going to give a couple of shout outs here, a guy named by the good name of Good Might Work on YouTube, and I think it was Spinnernet. It was a lot of other YouTubers before me that did it, and I just got to the point where, man, let me just get this laptop, turn on this camera, and just start talking. And man, I don't know what happened, but next thing I know, just give it a couple years later and a couple of mashups that I did, and I get noticed by WWE's actual YouTube channel for my mashup. And what I do is I get the WWE theme songs and I just, you know, throw them together and make a cool beat off of it. And those mashups blew up, and my channel just started blowing up as a result. And, dude, that's how I came about. It's just through fucking, excuse my language, but luck and circumstance. It's one of those things where I can't really say that, I came into this thinking I was going to be a big, super well-known influencer in the wrestling business. No, dude, I just did it because I had free time and I just wanted to talk about wrestling.
Oh, my God, man. Hey, man, you're doing a hell of a job, and I'm enjoying your stuff. And I want to shout out my man Richard Atkinson on Facebook. He's the guy that told me about you a while back ago, and ever since he told me about you, I've been hooked to your show. It's so hard to listen. It's so many podcasts and so many YouTube shows out there. It's hard to listen to everybody, okay? And when you find something that you really like, you know, I found myself really liking your product, man, and I'm hooked. And And I'm thankful that the world has Alex. Now, with that being said, you know, and I don't mind showing love and putting you over. And with that being said, how does it feel that there's so many people like myself and so many people like Richard that sit around and wait to listen to what you got to say? You know, how does that truly make you feel, honestly? Yeah.
Well, I think you're crazy. No, I'm joking, man. Look, honest to God, it is a blessing, and I'm grateful to every person that messages me, that watches me, and I let you guys know I do my best. I feel like I don't do it enough. I probably should, but I let you guys know that, hey, you know, I am beyond blessed and, you know, very grateful to you guys for taking the time out of your days that you could be doing with anything, and everybody can be doing something much more better than watching someone like me, but you choose to watch me. And always know that I'm going to be producing the best content I can possibly do for my little room here. And that's always going to be something I'm never going to forget. So I'm very grateful every day.
Amen, amen. Now, when it comes to production aspect, what are some of the things that you have to go through just to put your show out there? You know, a lot of times we don't see what goes on behind the scenes production-wise, but could you elaborate as much as you can on some of the things that we don't see? You know, we see the finished product, okay, but what are some of the things behind the scenes that you have to go through to make sure you put out some of the best stuff?
Man, it takes a village. I'll say that. I have what's called graphic artists that make my thumbnails, that make my covers, and I pay both of them that I work with are always telling me, you don't have to pay us. I pay them just because, you know, I feel like, I don't know if you want to get into the situation with Chelsea Green, where she basically didn't give credit to her. A graphic artist for all that. And you know what? That was a whole that's a messy situation as it is. But I look at that situation and go, if that was me, if I was the person doing all this work, the least that I would want in return is a shout out, is credit. So I let them know, hey, everything that you do for me, you will receive credit. You are contributing to the production of this channel. So I would be a complete a-hole not to give you that. So in terms of what you see on live streams, dude, OBS, Streamlabs, and a lot of that comes from the fans who are constantly donating to my channel. I don't know why they're doing it. I appreciate them. I'm grateful for it. But I'm able to do all this stuff. I have a new microphone. I have a camera. All this stuff comes from my fans. And it just comes from the idea that I just love talking about wrestling, and all I really do, all I really do is just I watch the shows and I take notes here and there, but it gets to a point where I just, you know, I schedule it, I turn on the camera and I start talking. There is one little aspect though that you probably should know is that a lot of these shows are done from a secluded location because I don't
want my family to know what's going on with my life right now because I have a second life.
Okay.
And the last thing they need to realize is that they look at me as a certain kind of beacon, and I don't want them to feel like, you watch that? You watch that? What the heck? Why you watch this wrestling? It's fake. And you don't want to get into all that. You know what I mean?
I totally understand. we're talking to just Alex, the man that runs Alex's World. I think you said that on one of your shows. I think it was the show you did. Talking about the greatest match ever between Edge and Randy Orton. And you basically you eviscerated that, man. Like, you really broke it down. Like, there's no way this can be the best match ever, you know?
And it's all a marketing tool, and that's where WWE is right now. It's just buzzwords, and no one buys it anymore. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Now, I was just listening to, I don't know if this is one of your most recent shows, but you said something about wrestling isn't fun again. It's not, it hit me. I agree with you because it hasn't been fun for a while, even before pre-pandemic. It hasn't been fun. The crowds are not as loud as they was in the Attitude Era, which you brought up, and I noticed that. The storylines are not juicy enough or not powerful enough. But why don't you think wrestling is fun again, in your own words, for our viewers?
If I'm going to be blunt with you, it's just the people running the shows. You know?
Okay.
It's just one of those things where the people in charge, and I don't want to call them boomers, but guess what? They're boomers. And the problem with these boomers is that they feel like wrestling should be done one way. This worked for me back in my day, so it should be done this way. And it's gotten to a point now where the world has passed them up so far. Not only do they not see – I'm getting to the point now where they're starting to see it, and they're being idiots. They're being stupid about it. They're pretending not to know about it, but they are. But maybe it got to a point now where they don't even see that they're out of touch. And the people running WWE especially, you can see with the way their storylines are written. A lot of it's toilet humor. It's appealing to the lowest common denominator, people who have that lowbrow humor aspect. And it's just like, bro, like, I'm sorry. Like, especially with what example I can give you. Like, the one that really sticks out to me. We're going there. The one
sticks
out to me.
Hold on, Alex. This is your show now. Go ahead and shoot, man.
Man, okay. So, I mean, you're telling me it's my show. The thing about this is a lot of these storylines that got going on WWE Raw especially, which is atrocious, and it's really hard to sit through for me. And it's gotten to a point where I've had to take breaks, hashtag Raw cleanse, and I even caught a glimpse of what they're doing with a freaking, what was it, Angel Garza and Drew Gulak, what they did on Raw recently, where the man after the match took his robe, put it between Drew Gulak's butt cheeks, and punted it into his a-hole. And I'm just like, bro, what aspect of the audience is this trying to appeal to? It's just like the Nia Jax thing, when Nia Jax fell on the apron and she busted her hole, and then that, next thing you know, my hole is trending. And I'm like, people wonder why the business, and again, my perspective, I'm not someone that is the end-all, be-all of wrestling, but I talk to wrestlers in the business, and they agree with me. They wonder why the business isn't growing, why shows like WWE Raw is constantly losing viewers, is constantly dropping in the ratings, is constantly struggling to get some kind of media attention. They have to go to the Rocks. They have to go to the Austins. They have to go to these legends, because that's the only way people will watch now, because they've done such a poor job of building this generation. And that's because of the poor booking and the poor storytelling.
Man. Wow. You know, and I'll come, like I said earlier, I've been in denial for a while, you know, and I call myself defending WWE, but it has gotten to the point to where it's kind of hard to defend them. I was telling Dominic, who's going to join us shortly, that I fell asleep through Raw last night, and that's something that I don't do. But just 2 weeks in a row, I fell asleep, and I just don't care anymore, and that breaks my heart. You know, let me ask you this question. If WWE doesn't get their act together, can you see a possibility of them either shutting down or shutting down in the next 5 or 10 years if they don't get their act together?
Well, I'm going to just be blunt with you. When it comes to WWE, man, it's way too big. It's too big of a conglomerate to really be that fragile in the business world. I feel like, especially when you look at the deals they got with Fox and NBC, like they're getting paid billions of dollars over the next few years. And they can, here's the crazy part, regardless of how good or bad the quality is weekly, they're going to get that money. So they can get away with a lot of this stuff. And it is discouraging. At the same time, and this is the part where, again, I try to be as fair as possible when it comes to WWE. I look at the talents on the show. I look at the AJ Styles. I look at the New Days. I look at even the new ones on NXT. I don't know if you watch NXT or not, but, yeah, I look at all of these fresh, hungry talents. I still believe WWE, at the end of the day, has the best roster in the world. So through these down periods, I feel like they're going to find ways to make it work. I like what they're doing with Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. I've been keeping an eye on that. And I like the odd couple pairing that's going on. And it's little things. It's just those little gems in the cesspool that's just like, I see it. Like, you see it, and you want to be able to go, y'all know that y'all can do better. You know that you can produce better shows. It's just, again, bringing it back to the boomers. Well, you got people writing the shows that don't care. What can you do, man?
Wow. Now, when you say people that don't care, are you specifically talking about Vince and his immediate crew that we know of with Bruce Pritchard, Triple H, Stephanie? Are those the people you're talking about? Are you even talking about those behind the scenes, the investors, you know, those that are all, those people that we don't see calling the shots? Who are you talking about when you
hey,
say
Hey, man. Hey, man, I'm going to just be blunt with you. And when it comes to WWE, one man's in charge. That's Vince McMahon. He's the head. He's the HBIC. So everything that happens go through him.
So you don't think nobody else is putting stuff in his ear?
Vince, I'm pretty sure there are thousands of people who put stuff in his ear, but Vince has surrounding himself with people who are yes men. You know, Bruce Pritchard is notorious. It's a notorious yes man. Everything that Vince wants Bruce to be like, oh, yeah, that's my son. And, of course, you know, that's just how it's going to be when it comes to WWE now. Vince is at that point of his he didn't used to be this way. I remember back in the Attitude Era when he basically admitted he came out on TV and told the world, look, y'all, we've been insulting your intelligence, and we're going to open up the creative envelope and give you what you want. That's where the Attitude Era started. That was in 1997. Vince McMahon in 1997 told the world, I don't know what you want anymore. Yep. It's 2021 now. Mm-hmm. Imagine. Think about that. Think about the gap in time when the Attitude Era started to right now and the difference that can make to a person. If Vince McMahon back in 1997 doesn't know what he was, admittedly, he didn't know what the fans wanted. What makes us think that he knows what we want here in 2021? He doesn't. It's clear he doesn't, because based off of how the television shows are produced, you yourself said it. You fell asleep during the shows. I didn't even watch the show. I kept up with it on Twitter because I already saw the card and went, I can miss this show. I can literally not watch the show and not miss anything. Guess what? That's where we are, man. And so, yeah, I do put a lot of the blame on Vince. And I don't know who else I can blame at this point but him. I can't go blame Triple H, who's not even running Raw. He's running NXT. I could get this. Stephanie is an easy target because she's very easy to hate. But what does she really contribute to the show? I don't see anybody else to blame but Vince McMahon and maybe Bruce Pritchard.
Wow. Okay, I get it. Now, I want to shift a bit because this is a unique interview. I'm doing this interview a bit different than I would do any other interview. I just want to pick your brain because you have such a great knowledge on things. What do you make of these those talents that got released from WWE? Were you up in an uproar about it? Were you one of those people that was like, oh, it's just business? What was your assessment of those people that got released from WWE?
Well, you'll have to remind me of the full list of people because the only one that comes to mind right now is Samoa Joe and the Iconics. And those three especially, I was just like, really, y'all? Especially Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is like, that is like a talent that is generational. You don't get a Samoa Joe just one day. You just pick him off the street and replace him. You can't replace a Samoa Joe. And the only thing that here's what I will, again, being fair, the only thing I can see WWE releasing him for is the fact that he's very easy to hurt, very injury prone. You know what I mean? And it's getting to that point in his life where that's going to happen. He's fucking in his 40s or something like that. So, your body's starting to break down. That said, great, great on commentary. Great talker. And even then, let's just say, for instance, that he just can't wrestle anymore. All right, you can still use him in different ways to help with the show. I don't know why WWE let that one go. Of all the talents that they released, that one I'm just like, what are y'all thinking? You know what I mean? Yeah.
And it's a lot of moves they do where you find yourself standing. What were you thinking? You know, I'm gonna bring the co-host Dominic, he wants to chime in, but I do want to ask you, after he asks you his question, I do want to ask you about, I hope I can say his name right, Adam Anvert. Is that how you spell it? Adam, the new play-by-play guy for Raw. I want to talk to you about that after Dominic asks you his question. Hey, Dom, are you ready?
Hello? Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Hey, Alex, I just want to give you the praise, bro. I'm just clapping for you, man, because you're just preaching the gospel. We all talk about right now with that stuff. It's so funny. One of the comments you said that there's a lot of people that out of touch with the roster and what WWE is doing, even though it is a disaster, that people, it's like, oh, it's not how it was back in the day. Like, for instance, my barber, he was on the show. Me and him had a segment with Martez about he's so old-fashioned and, like you said, picked up a yes man for fans. I'm just right now giving you the praise. So.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I really do.
So,
now,
just one thing, yeah.
Go ahead, Dom.
I just want to say that, but go ahead, continue.
I appreciate it, Dom. Now, okay, the announced team, Alex, what's going on with that? And I'm trying to defend Adam, the new play-by-play for Raw. I'm trying to tell people, give him time. But I don't know what's going on with that new Raw announced team, with really just him. But I heard you mention him on your show recently. Can you tell our viewers your thoughts on Raw announced team?
So his name is Adnan Vert. That's his real name. Yeah, and let me just say this, man. I'm right there with you. I'm still there. You know, I'm like, y'all, he literally just got there. And when I say he just got there, understand this. This is a man who came in from, what is it, baseball, MLB, ESPN?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Never watched a single aspect of wrestling before then. He's heard about it. He knows about wrestling. I'm pretty sure he's maybe had it in a past conversation, talked about, oh, this is Hulk Hogan, Goldberg. You know, he's heard about it, but you can just tell by him watching these matches, he doesn't know what a suplex is. He doesn't know what a powerbomb is. Doesn't know what a clothesline. Doesn't even know the basics. All he says is, oh my God, that was a crazy move. Wow, that's crazy. I'm just like, y'all hired a man with literally zero experience when it comes to wrestling. Is that Adnan Virk's fault? Kinda.
Nope.
Because I would think, hold up. I would think is I'm getting hired to talk about a wrestling show. The least I can do is do a little research. Just like what are these moves? What is happening? Like why are they wrestling? You know, it just feels like he doesn't know anything at all.
And
that's crazy to me.
And that's the problem. And that's the problem that's hard to defend. You know, we all can fake it till we make it. But unfortunately, it doesn't even seem like he's faking it right. You know, it seems like it's Corey Graves and Byron Saxton's show. And I'm kind of hoping that they should have just paired them two together. They work well together, you know. But, yeah, it's a tough listen. It's a very tough listen. But hopefully he can right the ship and and come into his own with this play-by-play role.
And, you know, let me just say this, too, because I just want to make it clear. I'm still giving the guy all the, you know, all the room in the world to grow and get better, because when you're put in that position, it doesn't matter who it is. They could have put Jim Ross. They could have, I don't know, AEW could have canceled his contract. He could have been brought back for a night. Anybody in that position is going to look bad, because you're constantly being told by Vince, and Vince is always in these guys' ear. Remember that. You're constantly being told by Vince to say certain things a certain way at a certain time, and not everybody can handle that. Not everybody is good at that, especially someone like Adnan Virk.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. I totally agree. AEW, they've been around almost going on 2 years now. Do you have any assessment on what they're doing? Are there Do you see great things from them? Do you see them just being another wrestling promotion that won't – how should I put this? Do you really see them as the equal to WWE? Or what are your whole thoughts about AEW, if I can get my words out correctly? Let me just say that.
Well, it goes like this. When it comes to AEW – I think AEW right now is in a honeymoon period where fans are just looking for anything that's not WWE, something that's an alternative to what they get 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on SmackDown, although 2 hours on SmackDown is actually a bit better than Monday regardless. AEW is the new kid in town, and they have a grace period that's probably going to start dying out, I think, by next year. But what I love about AEW is that we're seeing a lot of old-school traits, a lot of old-school booking mixed with the more modern-day, updated, new wrestling style that we see with a lot of these other wrestling shows, New Japan Pro Wrestling, NXT, PWG. And I like it. I like the blend of old-school and new-school that AEW has. And there are times where it doesn't quite hit the mark. There are a couple of shows that I've done reviews on that were just like, ugh, not quite right. However, for the most part, loving what they're doing with the main event scene. Jon Moxley is a beast. Kenny Omega is a beast. All these big names that they're bringing in that, you know, some of them, okay, Sting, Christian, you've seen them before, but they're big names. These are big name value talent that can bring a lot of value to your show, and I love that they're using them in a capacity that's not like what they do with Ric Flair, who comes in and then they embarrass him. They're always beating him up, and next thing you know, the poor guy. I don't like how they use the legends in WWE, just to put it succinctly. With AEW, all these legends have a purpose. You got Jake the Snake Roberts managing Homeboy. Lance Archer. Thank you so much. Yeah. Lance Archer. And then you got Tully Blanchard managing FTR. You don't see all these legends going for the world title, right? No, because that's not their spot anymore. The focus is on Hangman Adam Page. It's on Darby Allin. It's on Britt Baker. It's on the fresh talent. That is something AEW gets all the credit for. And if they keep that up, in about a 5-year period, they will be competing with WWE. Right now, they're still babies. Right now, it's still finding themselves, still trying to figure out what they want to be, find their identity. But once they find it and they hit the ground running, especially when the crowds come back, you best believe WWE is going to be in some serious trouble. How about that?
And that's what I'm scared of, because I'm a WWE homer. I don't – like, AEW is not really my cup of tea all the time, but over the last few weeks, you know, they piqued my they caught my attention with some things. You know, I like Jay Cargill. I like what they're doing with the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. You know, it's a few other things I like. Hangman
Page.
Okay. That's how much I watch the show.
I didn't get Lance Archer's right name right, so you got me on that one. So we good.
We even, okay. Now, I'm interested to see will they go up against like a Monday Night Raw or a Friday Night SmackDown. Do they really want to take it that far? Or because we saw what happened to TNA when they took it that far. Would you want to see that, like them go head to head with a Monday Night Raw or SmackDown?
No, I really don't. Not right now, especially.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Again, they're still trying to find themselves. And what we've seen with the Wednesday Night War, if we could take anything away from AEW versus NXT, all it really did was just divide the audience. When Raw and WCW were at war in the 1990s, both of them were growing their shows exponentially while going to war with each other. So what was happening was, yes, they were trading off viewers, but they were also bringing in their own viewers. They were also growing their fan base. So the war was a lot more interesting with, okay, oh, wow, who's going to grow faster than the other? Because WCW was kicking WWE's ass for 83 weeks until Stone Cold Steve Austin came around, Attitude Era, and the war was over.
Yep.
Here with AEW, and especially with the Wednesday Night Wars, neither of the shows are growing. Nobody is really bringing in a new fan base. So all we're really doing is hurting each other. You know what I mean? AEW needs to get to a place right now where it can grow and bring in its own fan base before it can compete with Monday Night Raw. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I completely agree with you on that for sure. I really do. Now, let me ask you this. I know it seems like we're rambling a lot about WWE, but I'm happy you're here. I'm happy I can ask you these questions. Do you what's going on with the women's division in WWE? What's going on? Really, the tag team division. One week I think Naomi or Lana are going to win the tag team championships. Then I think Tamina and Natalya are going to win it. And then one week I think it's Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. What do you think about the women's division? What are some of the things that can be some of the things WWE can do better with that tag team and the women's division as a whole?
We can drop the tag team belts, one. And then no, I'm just joking. Just look here, man. I'm going to just be real with you. When it comes to the women's division, ever since Ronda and Becky left, it has not been the same. It hasn't. I love what they're doing with Sasha and Bianca. I love that. I'm always going to respect the historic significance of having two black women main event at WrestleMania. That's beautiful. That is something you got to give to WWE. I don't, say what you want about their booking. That was a great call, and I'm happy they did that. That being said, when you look at the roster, especially on the Raw side, these women are super green, very inexperienced. They don't know what they're doing because they haven't been trained, and a lot of that comes from the people hiring them and telling them, hey, doesn't really matter if you're good at this or not because it's us. We're going to make you look good, blah, 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 blah. And they really are. And you know what? Is that the women's fault? Not really. Like, I see Lana, and I've been following her on Twitter and Instagram. I see her trying. I see her training. But if you're not good at something, it doesn't matter. You can train your butt off from here until the day you die. If it's not for you, if you're not good at it, you're just not going to get better. When it comes to someone like Lana, Nia Jax, and all these other women who are trying their butts off, you compare them to Lita, Trish, Chyna, Molly Holly, Victoria, even Candice Michelle, Tori Wilson, Stacey Huber. Mickey James, who just got released. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, it's just all these names that preceded them. It's just like we've regressed back to pre-Give Divas a Chance era, the era of when the women were getting – 2-minute matches, and even Carmella. I don't know if you follow Carmella on Twitter. She came out and basically said what I said. He's like, these women are getting very little TV time to work to get better, and then they wonder why their segments are low quality, why their segments aren't doing very well, because you don't give them time to work to get better, but also you brought them in with little experience. So, of course, when you ask the question, like, what's going on with the women's division, I'm like, well, when you hire people who are not very good at their job, why are we expecting them to make chicken salad out of chicken you know what?
Wow.
I censored myself there.
I like that. Hey, man, you funny. You funny. What's the tribal chief? That's all I got to say, the tribal chief. What have you been impressed with this version of Roman Reigns, or have you not been impressed with this version?
Oh, man, absolutely. I am in love with Roman's tribal chief heel villainous gimmick because for the longest time, what's the fans been saying about Roman? Hey, y'all, we don't like him. Hey, y'all, we don't want to like this guy. Let us hate him. Let us hate him. Let us hate him. And I don't know what it is about Vince, but he stubbornly pushed Roman 4 years, and I'm talking about 5 years, hey, this is going to be my top babyface. Hey, this is going to be my top hero. Hey, this is going to be my guy. And they gave him not one, not two, but 4 main event matches at WrestleMania, beating Undertaker. And I don't think he beat – I don't ever think he beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, but he beat Undertaker and Triple H.
He beat Brock once, I think. Or was that at SummerSlam? Maybe he beat him at SummerSlam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he beat him at SummerSlam. Seth Rollins won their match at WrestleMania 31. So
that's
I think
right.
That's the one you're probably thinking about. That's okay.
Yeah.
Look, the guy was given way too much, way too soon, and
yeah.
he really wasn't ready to go for it. And I think what happened during this pandemic, and I don't know if this is actually true. This is me speculating. Me, I don't talk to Roman. I don't know what he does outside of wrestling. But I think what happened was after the Goldberg fiasco, where they said, mm-hmm. hey, you're going to fight Goldberg at WrestleMania 36. And then Roman went home. That was one of those things where you just go, okay, like, why? And they say you pandemic-wise, he wanted to be sick and all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking this is WrestleMania.
Yep.
You don't just walk out on WrestleMania. I think what happened was Roman just got sick and tired of the BS. Like, y'all, I am not a hero. I am not – this is not working for me. I need something different. I need something fresh. So what ended up happening is when he came back at SummerSlam, they put him with Paul Heyman, instant change, instantly.
Yep.
And you see it. You see how he carries himself, how he talks, the way his presence. And you're like, where has this been? And the reality is it's always been there. He's always been that good. It's just how they were booking him and what they wanted him to be. They wanted Roman Reigns to be a Rock. They wanted him to be a Stone Cold Steve Austin. They wanted him to be that top babyface. That's not Roman. Roman is not a hero.
The cancer situation. Like after he came back, they were cheering for him, and then they went back to booing him at some point. So I agree. Sorry to cut you off, but I wanted to throw that in there.
No. You're fine. I'm happy you threw that in there because that should have been their golden ticket. Like, okay, that's got to be cancer. Blood cancer.
Yep.
Come on now. And it still didn't work. And it's because some people are just not meant to be heroes. You can like them.
Ooh,
you can see you can see them as talent. But I'll give you a prime example. One of my favorite heels of all time is Triple H. You know, I love him when he's with Shawn Michaels as DX, but the moment you take Triple H away from Shawn Michaels, there's really nothing special about him that makes him interesting, in my opinion. That helps me get into him standing out as a babyface. That's why a lot of times when they did turn him babyface, like what happens like in about 2 months, he goes back to being a heel. He can't stay a babyface because that's not his role. Roman, I just don't think he's meant to be a hero.
It'd be like that. And I don't think he can ever go back. Even if they make him babyface, he would have to keep the same persona, much like what The Rock did. You know, The Rock, people just started liking The Rock. You know, he still had that bad boy persona to me, even when he was a babyface. You know, people just started liking him. So, but I don't think they make Roman go back to what he used to be. So I agree with you when it comes to that. Oh man, what was the next question that I had for you? Now that it just went off I lost it. Okay, CM Punk, you had a show about CM Punk, and that show gave me chills. And I'm being real with you, like we like to put people over on this show. When you did that show, you broke it down from top to bottom, man. And CM Punk was spitting facts, man. What made you do that show before the anniversary of that pipe bomb?
So the idea originally was to do it on the anniversary of the pipe bomb. That was the thing. But I just decided, man, I got to talk about this now. It resonated with me too much, and I felt like it was the right time to do it, especially following WrestleMania, where fans were just kind of like, all right, nothing's really happening right now. I was like, we need to remind fans that, hey, although wrestling might not be good right now, it can still be good. It can still be great. And that's why that particular podcast, that particular video was important to me, because that was one of the very few times in the last decade where I felt like a wrestling fan.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It felt like, oh, okay, what is happening here? Like, oh my God, that's not supposed to happen. But you forget that all of this is. I'm not going to say fake. I know wrestlers get very offended by the word fake. They believe it or not, they would rather you say stage, or they were.
Yep.
What was the other one? Predetermined. Predetermined is the big one.
Right, okay.
Yeah. You know, they don't like the term fake, and I got to catch myself a lot of times. But we know it's predetermined.
Right.
But sometimes when you get those type of stories that are so good and so engaging, you forget, and you get engaged.
Yes, oh, my
and
goodness.
And I was hooked for the Summer of Punk when he took on John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011. Yes, sir. That was
so
good.
I stopped watching wrestling for like a year because I didn't really like the Ruthless Aggression era like that, you know, but I stopped watching it in 2010 because I felt like it was getting bland and whatever, but somebody told me about, you heard what CM Punk did? I said, what? No, I don't watch Raw no more, but I ended up watching the recap, and boy, I loved it, and ever since then, I've been watching wrestling again, ever since that pipe bomb, you know, like, and I've been hoping CM Punk come back. I don't know if he'll ever come back to the WWE, but I'll go back and look at some of the clips when he would have one-on-one promos with Triple H and John Laurinaitis. And it's like, some of this stuff he's saying is how you really feel, you know? And I was wondering, how is he getting away with all that, man? But do you feel like some of the stuff he was saying in those promos with Triple H and John Laurinaitis and John Cena, for that matter, do you think that stuff was really how he felt? I mean, well, we know now he felt like that, but I'm talking about during that time, do you feel like he felt the way, felt what he was saying, you know?
Oh, most definitely. I do believe that Phillip Brooks was coming from a place of realness, coming from his heart with those promos. And I don't know if you've seen the DVD, the documentary, but he did talk about that pipe bomb, and he basically said, they gave me freedom to express and vent my frustrations about the company. So none of that was written. All of that came straight from him. All of it. And
wow.
That goes back to an issue I have with WWE. Nowadays, these scripted promos are killing these talents because they're not able to be themselves. Yep. And when you're not able to be yourself, you're not able to form that connection with the audience. You're not able to get a genuine, organic connection with those audiences. And therefore, you don't really matter to them. You don't get over. You don't become the superstars that Austin and Hulk Hogan and The Rock and all these big names became by being themselves. Because that's what happened with The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. When they first came in, they got these terrible gimmicks. Rocky Maivia, Ringmaster. Terrible. Awful. Then WWE, WWF at the time said, all right, you know what? Just be you. And that's all they needed. And the rest is history. The rest is history.
It is. definitely. We got about two more questions for you. We don't want to keep you too long. But one of our contributors and a loyal listener to this show, he has called in. He wants to ask you a question. Do you mind taking his question, Alex?
Yeah, man, let's go.
All right, Kayvon, you're on Wrestle Talking to D, brother. How's it going, man?
It is going great, especially hearing the Tribal Chief going on and on. I love it. I love it. Oh, my God. It gives me chills.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I only have one question. Now, go ahead, Tim. Go ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead. I was just getting excited. I should turn my mic off. I was excited over here.
Okay. How are you, just Alex?
Oh, man. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Now, one question, just one question, and I've asked everybody this. Who can stop this Roman? Like, I mean, he's at the best of the best right now. I mean, we all seen what he did to Edge and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Then he turned around and destroyed Daniel last Friday. So who can stop the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns?
I got two people in mind to go up against the Tribal Chief. The first one, the obvious one, is the people's champ himself, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I think that is a dream match fans have been wanting to see for half a decade now. And The Rock, I don't know, again, just giving you guys some information here. The Rock's movie schedule opens up after Black Adam finishes up. So he'll be free, not saying he's coming back, but he'll be free to do some things around WrestleMania. So Tribal Chief might want to wait out for that one. But if I'm going to be real with you, I'm going to pick someone who's current, who's here, and the best person to go up against Roman Reigns is Cesaro. Let me tell you why Cesaro. Cesaro, homeboy, strongest, one of the best athletes in the world today. And watch this. What makes him unique is that he's never gotten a one-on-one opportunity for the world title. Never. And he's been there for 10 years. 10 years, never got one opportunity for the world title. So the story is, in my opinion, what's going to happen to Roman when Cesaro gets that opportunity? Cesaro is going to bring his A-game. Cesaro is going to bring his best. And just like Seth Rollins got his butt swung and then UFO'd at WrestleMania, I think the Tribal Chief is in trouble when he fights Cesaro, which is why the Tribal Chief is trying to avoid him. Mm-hmm. So Cesaro is my pick, man.
Okay. We'll see what happens, Kayvon and just Alex. We'll see what happens when those two collide together. Now, Alex, and I know this is a cliche, but I will be disrespectful if I didn't say this. But where can people find you? You know, what's coming up next on your shows? I want to take this time for you to really like put your show over. Not that you need us to put your show over, but I want you to just take this time if you want to tell the people, our viewers, and what's coming up next for your show.
Well, I'm so happy that you, first off, gave me this platform to be here, man. And I'm always grateful to people who are looking to help spread the brand of Dallas Alex. You know, and again, he asked me to take this time to explain myself. So Alex's World is a YouTube channel. By the way, it's just called Just Alex, A-L-Y-X, not A-L-E-X, and it's a safe space for wrestling fans like you, and the reason why it's a safe space is because I invite all opinions from all sides. I don't care whether you agree, whether you disagree, whether you like something, whether you don't like something. I invite you to be a wrestling fan. So please check me out on YouTube on Just Alex. Also like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Just Alex Central. Just Alex Central, no space in between there. And you can also donate. I have places you can donate to the channel, Patreon. All of that is definitely on my social media. And last but not least, I got one last thing to talk about. And if I can take this time to get very personal, if that's okay with you, because I know this is a wrestling channel.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Right now on my channel, my YouTube channel, I have uploaded my very first music single. And it's not about wrestling. It's about getting personal, Black Lives Matter. And what I've done with that video, with this music video, is that I have set it as a fundraiser for every person that watches it. For every view that it gets, it's a dollar donated to Black Lives Matter.
Oh, wow.
Okay? I've set it up with an organization called the EJI, the Equal Justice Initiative, where – again, all the YouTube ad money, all the stuff that it gets that I would usually get, I'm not getting. It's going straight to them. So I encourage everybody that has the time, that's able to go watch that video. It's called 911. The video is called 911 by Alex Music. 911 by Alex Music. Check it out. Support the cause. I would really appreciate it. And thank you guys for allowing me to be here to talk wrestling and do all that, man.
Absolutely, man. I commend you for sticking your head out there and supporting that movement. And I'm definitely going to tune into that video once I get off air. But once again, thank you for coming on to the show. I hope we can do this again. You know, had a good time talking to you. One of my favorite guests to be on this show, honestly. So thank you for coming on, man. I'm definitely going to email you with another thank you. Hey, have a good day. Have a blessed day. Keep on ascending, man.
All right. You have a good one, too, man.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. There you have it. What more can I say? That was a fantastic interview, fantastic show. Gosh, you know, Alex brought the heat. I want to thank Dominic, as always, for being a part of this show. I want to thank Kayvon, as always, for calling in and being a part of the show. Kayvon is been working on some things, and Kayvon may be a part of the show a bit more this summer coming up. So we look forward to that, and we look forward to doing some new things with this show. We're going to be coming back to you tonight probably, I don't know what time yet, me, Dominic, and maybe Kayvon, we can work out a time, thinking 7 o'clock before NXT, but we're going to be coming to you tonight with another recap show. This has been Wrestle Talking to D. Thank you for listening. God bless, and we will talk to you later.